Blog Talk Radio.
Dear Lord, hear my prayers. For I am a patriot, Lord, and I won't bow down nor apologize to the cowards that try to take away our unalienable, God-given rights and freedoms. I will stand with my brothers and sisters, with arms, if we must, to defend our Constitution and our way of life in this great republic from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Dear Lord, I ask that you shield us and protect us with your armor. Take us from the darkness and guide us with your ever so divine light as we restore this republic for which it does stand. That is one nation under you, God, with all liberties and justice for all mankind. Amen. This is Ricochet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ricochet. And welcome to Wild Card Command Radio. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about practical application of your community protection teams in this disaster situation. Recently, we have had a whole state devastated down in South Carolina. We've had National Guards roll in and set up little camps and do their thing, and we've had Army units go down. And in all of this, there were still people who never saw any support for disaster and who are still in water up to their knees in their yards and their homes. And they still haven't seen anybody from any of the emergency services come out to say, hey, guy, can I give you a hand? It's all on the people. If you remember, these community protection teams, they don't come from anywhere. They're right there. They live in the same neighborhood or the same basic area. There are people who are right around there. Because we all know that in every neighborhood, we're going to have some people who are going to sit back, watch the TV, and wait for FEMA to show up at the front door with a stack of money to help them out. As we get further and further into this world disaster that's going on, we're going to find that FEMA's not going to show up. If they do, they're going to have strange requests. If you run up and look on YouTube, one of our people put up on YouTube not long ago of a young lady talking about calling in to ask for food when they couldn't drive out to go get it, to be told that they needed a number. To get that number, they needed to go online. If they had electricity, if they had everything working, they wouldn't have been calling in. But that's beside the point. These protection teams are yours. Each of these teams will have people that are experienced in communications, whether it be telephone operators, telephone installers, or real live telecommunications workers, or it might just be ham operators. They're in the neighborhood, they can get the word in and out. They're going to have medical people, whether it's a nurse, a physician's assistant, maybe even a doctor in your neighborhood. Or it could just be somebody that was a medic back in when they served in the armed forces. You're going to have an engineer. Now, this engineer could be a combat engineer who can mix up some little things and drop trees or move trees off houses or create culverts to run water out of your neighborhood. Or it could be somebody works in a construction company and has a backhoe right around on the back of his truck that can go out and do these things for you. Or it could be that you need somebody to keep the looters out, in which case you've got some actually ill people in there or actively ill. Federal agents, state agents, they're trapped just like you are. Ex-soldiers. People that have done time in, as it's colloquially called now, the sandbox. We called it the rice paddy in my day. The sleeping giants are there. You just got to reach over and kick them, take the TV control away from them, put the beer down on the table, bring them outdoors, and introduce them to the neighborhood. These are your community protection teams. I harp on here about ghillie suit long rifles. Well, those guys are going to have a job, too. You need them, because if you got just enough people to handle your neighborhood, who's going to go next door to the neighborhood that don't have a team? Because if that gets infested with, we'll call them zombies right now. That's going to be the people that come out of these cities, broke, hungry, cold, wet, miserable, come into a neighborhood. They're going to expect that by somebody's rules, that somebody wrote somewhere on some piece of paper, that you owe them one of your beds, half your food, and the use of your family. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. The good American patriot people are going to take care of that long before it gets there. So with these teams, you have to break down what is a disaster. A disaster can be anything from somebody landing their Piper Cub in the middle of your community where people were asleep in the middle of the night. It could be some military unit not far away thinking they're doing drills, letting about a 155 round loose in your community. It could be a tornado or even just a regular rainstorm that at an inopportune time that creates in your area a situation. Now, the FEMA plan is once the governor declares an emergency, they will get their vehicles out of their parking lot and they will ride to your neighborhood. And when they get there, they're not going to do nothing. They're going to call on Leo to put a cordon around your neighborhood to make sure nobody gets in there to harm you. Now, the people that are already harmed, they're still waiting, just as they were in South Carolina. The disaster was called. FEMA went out. They had people, good-hearted people that brought supplies down, turned them over to some of these public helpers, and that and all that stuff that they turned over was nicely stacked on a nice shelf in the back and put away until such a time as people could find a number that they had to be issued to go and pick it up and take it out to share it with their neighborhood. Now you say, well, I don't need that because I've got 500 pounds of stored food. Yes, and if it's under 3 feet of water, it's useless to you. So you're going to have to start thinking about, am I in a flood zone? Most of the people that got flooded out in South Carolina didn't know they were in a flood zone, or they surely wouldn't have gone in there, at least not to this at this stage. So let's look down. So what do you do? Preparations. Your team can go to each and every house. What would it take in each house to make it ready to receive, say, 2 feet of water? A good thing would be to have your sandbags already there, already full of sand, already tied up, placed in a plastic bag, and use them for somewhere in the backyard to hold something up. And then when you need them, you go get them, bring them around front, take them out of the plastic bag, and put them down. You take into your garage door up, say, 4 feet, and put plastic behind it and in front of it. You do your front door up about 3 to 4 feet. You can step over a 3-foot wall. You do your back door. You do the little hold around the side of underneath your house. Cover them up, something to cover them so water can't get in there. Because underneath your house runs electrical wires, and when they get wet, it gets real dark real quick, and sometimes it can get real scary as it zaps and you're standing in the water, right? So the next thing you got to do is make prayers for that. Second half of any disaster is a response. If you've got water like they did in South Carolina running into the houses, how many sandbags can you fill in 15 minutes? Probably not many. So maybe your neighbors can help you come over there and put some rocks down and lift up the couch and get it out of the water. put the beds out of the water, close the screen door to keep snakes and other little wigglies out of your house? Or do you need to go someplace? Do you have a neighbor up the street, just him and his wife? They live on the bottom floor. They move up in one room. They got two rooms that are empty. Can two families go up there and stay? Something you have to think about, something you have to plan for. You got to get these. What do you need to get a car off of somebody or get a tree off of somebody? If you go and take the CERT, Community Emergency Response Team courses to prepare with your team, there's ways to lift that tree up there with some 2x4s and a couple of pry bars. Get the people out and let it down without doing damage. All these things are part of your team. Then you have recovery. Recovery is when you go and fix what's broke. That's where these engineers can help in teams. Now, you look at South Carolina. Wildcard was granted an opportunity here to help. What did we do? We went in, we set up we've got some people that have been coming to Wildcard Intel meetings. Be coming up on our America's Finest recruiting channels and talking to us. We found them. We found somebody in the area we wanted to go to. They took over because they knew where the roads went. They knew what these different signs and places meant. We knew what these different things were. We could tell which rivers were just a little creek and which of these rivers was big and wide and deep and ugly. We got a gentleman to take over, and he took over command on that channel. We opened up another channel just for people responding. We had a response. We had a team come out of North Carolina and Virginia, showed up down there, brought water, brought food, and went around and cleared two counties, just going door to door. Hey, you okay? You okay? Once that was finished, so we discovered that where the problem was from another of our people that came up on America's Finest, the problem wasn't there. It was down here, east of the 95 area, east of Columbia. Everything in FEMA went to Columbia. That's where the governor lives. That's where the money's at. That's where things are done. They showed up out there in some of these smaller towns. Got with churches, brought in supplies, and we started having. We had people bring supplies from Florida, out of Tennessee, North Carolina, and other places sent in. We had churches that came down. That's who we worked with because the churches were interested in the people. They weren't looking for a FEMA check. And they arranged and they helped set up these areas. We worked with your guard units on the ground. They done the distribution. We brought in the supplies. This is because members of Patriots wanted to help. As late as today, we had teams come from Virginia en route bound to South Carolina. We had South Carolina groups. We had militia groups all the way from the ocean. They were up there hauling food up there and helping people. We went out to places you may have seen on Channel 6 on the news. I believe it was NBC where they had to talk about this young little boy, a 15-foot bass boat that was hauling people up and down this road that used to be a river, carrying them to the doctor appointment, carrying them to church, picking them up, bringing food to them. Well, we came in the back door. We got in there, we found that nobody had helped these people. These people were just out there. That's where you saw that radio report on. This, if each of these little communities that had a community protection team, and that's something else we taught while we were there. We taught community protection team, the people on the ground. They told them about, said, hey, here's what you need to do to set up this team in your area. Then you don't have to sit there and wait for the Red Cross to show up. You don't have to wait for the National Guard to come in to protect your neighborhood. You don't have to wait for FEMA to show up and ask you for your pre-arranged number so you can have food and resources to hand out to the other people in your neighborhood. They're usually your teams. They're your people. They live there. They have an interest. And when the governor raises her thing, said, okay, the emergency's over, they're not going to pack up and go home. They're going to still be working to help everybody in the neighborhood. What we at Wildcard Command do is facilitate. In this case, we brought in and provided and helped people set up their own communications. After a couple of days of us sitting up there monitoring and helping as best we could, these groups were doing it themselves. They were doing the coordination. They were coordinating traffic of people coming as from far away as Western Tennessee, as far away as Virginia, down in South Florida, bringing stuff in to help these people out. While FEMA was waiting for you to get your number and dial it in. This is not against FEMA. This is not bad-mouthing. They have to do it by federal law. They have to account for every nickel, dime, quarter, penny, gallon of water, ounce of food, roll of toilet paper has to be accounted for. Who got it? Who brought it in? Where did it go to? Who ended up with it? And what was their, and who were they, and what was their financial and physical condition at the time it was issued? This is required by our Congress for them to account for it. But it doesn't help you. That's why it's your team. If they know that George up the street is a prepper, he's got 605-gallon buckets full of freeze-dried food, you've got water up to your knees, you've got plenty of water to mix it with. You call the engineer, he comes in and provides a way, what's known as an osmosis filter. That's you get three pieces of PVC pipe, you take the bottom one, you put a piece of cloth over a screen clamped onto the end of it, you go up to the middle one and you fill that one up full of sand, and right above it, you go get you a little screen and you put you some, oh, we call them P-rocks. And you fill that second section up, about 2 feet of that. You put another little stream. You put some, what we call them, chunking rocks. These are the ones you flip out there and skate across the water. And you pour that water through it. When it comes out the other end, it's about 85 to 90% clean. It's clean enough you can put it into a big cauldron out in the backyard, light a fire under it, bring it to a boil, add a little bit of chlorine bleach to it, and you can drink it, you can wash your face, brush your teeth, and not end up with cholera, dysentery, and all those other little terrible diseases. Now, if while doing that, we're able to get people into Bill's truck, because he's got this big old truck. It sits about 19 inches above the ground. The water's only 14 inches deep. He can drive anywhere he wants to. He don't even need the roads to get down there. People give him some money, he goes down, he buys what they need, brings it back and hands it back out. All of these type things are neighborhood. Neighbors helping neighbors. That is what your community protection team is. It's neighbors helping neighbors. Once you get your team formed, I don't care if it's just you and Bill down the street. That's the start of a team. Once you start getting your team formed and learning what you need to learn, in case of a disaster, everybody's standing out in the street, knee-deep in water, water moccasins at bay with sticks, scratching their behind and picking their nose and playing switch. You can come up with an idea of what we need to do to get this water out of here. George says, well, what do you do? Well, why don't you go down there and hit that little wall down there that's got those two tree limbs in front of it so it'll run down the drain. Got it. Move that, helps get the water out of the way. And why don't you go park by the front. Make sure that nobody's coming in here with a truck, start stealing stuff out of houses of people that took off and went someplace to be safe. These are your teams, but we're here to help. The Wildcard Command, if you pick you up a phone, get on Zillow. Z is in zoo, E is in elephant, L is in label. Llama, L is in llama, O is an Oscar. It's called Zello. You can get it if you got an Android phone. You can get it off of Google Play Store. What do they call it? The Play Store. If you're on one of those Apple devices, you can go on there. If you're on a computer, you can go online to Zello.com and you can download a free copy of Zello. Put it on your phone. Get your neighbors all connected up. Once you do that, if you got a team, type in there America's Finest. Put that as my channel. Come on up and join us and tell us that, hey, I got a group and I need help. We'll get you the help you need. We'll go one-on-one with you. We'll see where you're at, what you need resources-wise, as far as learning and training. We'll refer you to other training classes. We'll refer you, of course, to the RAM site, RAMSITE. They're on throw that in your Google search. You'll come up the RAM site. They've got a resource center that's got 5,000 or 6,000 documents. They're in PDF format, so you can download them, put them on your printer, download them, put them on your thumb drive, and watch them on your computer. Listen to them read them on your cell phone. That teach you how to do all the things you're going to need to do to set up this team. So what we want to do is ask you now, come on out, get the team, get with us, let us know exactly what we can do to help you. Wildcard Command is not a militia. We're here to help all Patriot units, whether you be a militia, whether you be a community protection team, whether you just be five guys that get together every week and think about where this world's going and how not to get caught in that circle of water at the bottom. We'll help anybody. And by us helping you, then you can help the guy next door. Then when there's a disaster in your area, whether it's man-made, nature-made, or just an accident, happened by one of the guys there. That was the one I got up in Ohio the other day. He thought he was making targets so he can go out and learn how to shoot. Didn't realize that if you get enough Tannerite stacked on the corner of your table, when it falls off and hits the ground, it's going to make a very large, large hole and a pretty good-sized fireball with it. Because he didn't know any better. But it spread to 5 or 6 homes. If you have a community protection team, everybody will be out of those houses before the fire trucks get there. That's what your teams do. I want to welcome you. Thank you for listening to our program today. And I want to ask you to let you know we'll be here again next week. Next week I'm going to have people here that took part in the South Carolina support. I'm going to bring them up and have them show all the things that they had to do and the things that they intended. This is Safe Talker signing off for this week, and y'all have a very good week. Safe Talker out.